Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther recounts the story of the miracle of Purim, how the Jews were saved from the wicked Haman in Golos Babel during the time between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. There is something very unique about this Sefer of Tanakh. It is the only one that Hashem's name is not mentioned. True, the Vilna Gaon learns that the word HaMelech in the Megillah is always a reference to Hashem. However, an explicit mention of Hashem's name is not found anywhere in the Megillah. The Mefarshim explain it is because of the distinction between the nature of the miracle of Purim and the miracles which preceded it. By Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, all the way until the end of the era of Bayis Rishon, Hashem revealed himself through visible miracles. The hand of Hashem was evident. However, with the close of the era of the first Beis HaMikdash, the age of open miracles ended. The role of Hashem would now be concealed behind a mask of apparently natural events. That is why Hashem's name is not mentioned. Also, the word Olam, world, comes from a root that means hidden, Nelam, because in this world, the existence of Hashem is hidden. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amid Beis asks, Esther min haTorah minayin? Where is there an allusion to Esther in the Torah? And the Gemara answers with the Pasuk in Parshas Vayelech, Ve'onoichi haster aster ponai b'yom ahu. I will conceal my face from Klal Yisrael at that time. The word Esther comes from the word nister, to be hidden. As Rashi says in Chulin, Bimei Esther yieh hester ponim. In the days of Esther, the miracles will occur, hidden, behind a mask of natural events. However, if one looks closely, he will see that the hand of Hashem orchestrated all these events to happen in order to save the Jewish nation. Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi, in his introduction to his Sefer Yosef Lekach on Megillas Esther, answers another question based on this theme. And that question is, why isn't there a Megillah recounting the miracles of the Hanukkah story, just like there is a Megillah recounting the miracles of what happened on Purim? And he answers, on Hanukkah the miracles were obvious, as we say in Alanisim, Mosarta Giborim Biyad Chaloshim, Virabim Biyad Miatim. The strong were defeated by the weak, and the many were defeated by the few. As Rashi says in Parashas Vezos HaBrocha, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lefi Shehoyu Muatim, since the Bnei Chashmonoim were few, Yud Beis Bnei Chashmonoi Ve'Elozar, the 12 Bnei Chashmonoi and Elozar, totaling 13 people, Keneged Kama Revovois, going against many tens of thousands of Greeks. The miracle was evident, therefore there was no need for a Megillah. However, by Purim, the miracles were hidden. One can think that it happened on its own, without Hashem's intervention. For that reason, a Megillah is read, with all its details, the entire story, to spell out the groundwork that Hashem laid in order for this miracle to happen. In Golos Babel, approximately 52 years after the Churban, Koresh, the Persian king, gave permission for Klal Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. This event was already foretold approximately 200 years earlier by Yeshaya HaNavi. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Perek Memhei, Koyomar Hashem l'mishichoy l'koyrosh. So said Hashem l'mishichoy to Koyrosh. Hu yivne iroi. He will rebuild my city. This permission took place approximately 2 years before Achashverosh became king. However, only 42,000 people listened to Koresh to start the construction. Koresh was king for another 2 years, until Achashverosh came to power. And during Achashverosh's reign, the rebuilding came to a halt, mainly due to outside pressure. Vashti, his wife, was very against the rebuilding, as the Medrash says in Parashah Ois Beis, that Vashti told Achashverosh, Ma shehechrivu avoisai ato mevachish livnois, what my forefather destroyed, you want to rebuild? What my great-grandfather Nebuchadnezzar destroyed, you want to rebuild? Also, the Pasuk in Ezra Perek Dalet tells us that a letter was sent to Achashverosh by the enemies of the Jews, the sons of Haman among them, that the Jews are building this Beis HaMikdash only in order to rebel against you, Achashverosh. Achashverosh accepted the advice of his wife and the reports about the rebellion and ordered an end to the rebuilding. Now let us start the Megillah inside. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, and it was in the days of Achashverosh. Hu Achashverosh, he was Achashverosh. Hamoylech, who ruled, me hoidu viyad Kush, from hoidu until Kush, from India until Ethiopia. Sheva ve'esrim umeo medina, he ruled over 127 provinces. Zokt Rashi, vayehi bimei Achashverosh, it was in the days of Achashverosh. Melech Prashaya, Achashverosh was a Persian king, Shemolach, who ruled Tachas Koresh, after Koresh, L'Seif Shim Shana Shel Golos Bavel, at the end of the 70 years of Golos Bavel. Rashi is coming to tell us that you should not mix up this Achashverosh with a previous king who also had the name Achashverosh. The Achashverosh we are referring to here was the Achashverosh who was king after Koresh, at the end of Golos Bavel. Because there were three kings that ruled from the Babylonian dynasty, followed by three kings that ruled from the dynasty of Poras and Modai. The three Babylonian kings were Nebuchadnezzar, followed by his son Evil-Merodach, followed by his son Belshazzar. After that, the rule of Bavel ended, and the rule of Modai and Poras began, with Daryovesh, followed by Koresh, followed by Achashverosh. So the Achashverosh we are referring to over here was the one that ruled right after Koresh. Zot Rashi, hu Achashverosh, and Rashi is bothered, why does the Pasuk have to say Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh? Hu Berishoy mitchilosei v'ad soifoy. It is coming to tell you that he was wicked from his beginning until his end. He was wicked in the beginning by stopping the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and was wicked in his end by trying to destroy the Jewish nation. And the Medrash tells us another pshat in Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh. Medrash says, "Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, shehorag es ishtoi mipnei oyhavoi." It was in the days of Achashverosh, who killed his wife Vashti because of his friend Haman. Hu Achashverosh. This is the same Achashverosh, shehorag oyhavoi mipnei ishtoi, who killed his friend Haman because of his wife Esther. The Alshich learns that in the opening words of the Megillah wants to dismiss the notion that these events were of a natural occurrence. One may think that the savior of Klal Yisrael came about because Achashverosh listened to his wife Esther, who he loved so much, over his friend Haman. If that was the case, he should have listened to his wife Vashti over Haman, and not Haman over Vashti. That is what the Medrash means. The same Achashverosh who listened to his friend to kill his wife did not listen to his friend to kill his wife Esther, but rather Hashem's hand was involved, and Hashem reversed the roles. And Achashverosh listened to his wife to kill his friend. He listened to Esther to kill Haman. Zok Rashi HaMoylech. The Pasuk does not say Asher Molach, but rather HaMoylech, which seems to mean that he ruled by force. So Rashi says, Shemolach me'atzmoy. He came to power by himself. V'loy hoya mizera hamalucha. He was not from royal blood. The Gemara explains that he paid an excessive amount of money in order to get into position to be the king. Now, although Achashverosh was not Mizera HaMalucha, his wife Vashti was. She was the daughter of Belshazzar, who was the son of Evil-Merodach, who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. So Vashti did come from royal blood. Zok Rashi Mehoidu V'Yad Kush, he ruled from Hoidu until Kush. HaMoylech Al Mea Ve'Estrim V'Sheva Medinois, K'moyshe Moylech Mehoidu V'Yad Kush. Achashverosh ruled over 127 provinces, the same way he ruled from Hoidu until Kush, She'omdim Zeh Eitzel Zeh, Hoidu and Kush, which are two countries that are near each other. Just like he ruled over the two countries that were near each other, from Hoidu until Kush, that was the way he ruled over all 127 provinces. So Rashi here is going according to the Manda Omar, in the Gemara in Megillah, that Hoidu and Kush are two countries that are near each other. V'chein, and so we find the Melachim Aleph. The Pasuk says concerning Shloimeh HaMelech, Shloimeh HaMelech ruled on the whole other side of the river, from Tifsach until Aza. And this too is explained in the same way. He ruled over the whole other side of the river, just like he ruled from Tifsach until Aza, which were two cities near each other. That was the way he ruled over the whole other side of the river. The Gemara brings another pshat, that actually Hoidu and Kush were at two ends of the world, and the Pasuk is read Kipshutai. Achashverosh ruled Mehoidu v'yad Kush, from one end of the world until the other, from Hoidu until Kush, which encompassed 127 provinces. The Medrash says, how did Esther come to rule over 127 provinces? It was because she was a descendant of Sarah, who lived 127 years. And the Alshuch writes, one should not think that our Chachamim simply like to play number games connecting 127 to 127, 127 provinces to 127 years, but rather they are teaching us not to draw a very wrong conclusion. And that is because we see on two occasions that Sarah was saved from being abducted by Gentile kings. One time she was saved from Pari, and the second time from Avimelech. And therefore one might think that Esther, who was not saved from Achashverosh, did not have the schusim of Sarah. Therefore the Medrash makes a connection between Esther and Sarah and says, the reason why Esther was able to rule over 127 provinces was because she was a descendant of Sarah, who lived 127 years, and she had the schusim of Sarah. And the only reason she was not saved from Achashverosh was in order to save the Jewish nation by her being in the right position in order to bring a geula for Klal Yisrael. And the pasuk continues, pasuk beis, Bayom Moheim, in those days, Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh al Kise Malchusai, when King Achashverosh sat on his royal throne, Asher B'Shushan HaBiro, which was located in Shushan, the capital, B'Shnas Shalosh L'Molchai, in the third year of his reign, Asa Mishteh, he made a feast, L'Chol Sarov V'Avodov, for all his officials and servants, Chel Paras U'Modai, the army of Persia and Media, HaPartumim, together with the governors, V'Sari HaMedinois, and the officials of the provinces, L'Fonov, before him. Zokt Rashi Pasuk Beis Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh. And Rashi is bothered by a question which the Gemara asks, that there seems to be a stira, a contradiction, between Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel. In Pasuk Beis it says that the feast started Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchusai, when the king sat down on his royal throne, in the beginning, in the first year of his kingdom. However, in Pasuk Gimel it says, Bishnas Shalosh L'Molchai, the feast was in the third year of his kingdom. Therefore, Rashi explains that the feast was really in the third year of his kingdom, like the pasuk says, Bishnas Shalosh L'Molchai. So what does the pasuk mean, Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh, that it took place when the king sat on his royal throne? Zok Rashi, Kishineskayim HaMalchus B'yodai. It means when his kingdom was firmly established in his hand. It took place in the third year. And in the third year, that was the time that his kingdom was firmly established in his hand. The words Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh mean in the third year at the time when his kingdom was firmly established. And our Rabbeim have another pshat in Masechta Megillah. And the Gemara there also learns that the feast took place in the third year. So what does the pasuk mean Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh? Zok the Gemara, La'achar Shenishyashva Daitai, after Achashverosh's mind was put at ease, after he was calm and reassured that the Jews would not leave Golos Babel. Because the kings of that time all knew the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu that stated, Ki lefi melois lebavel shivim shana efkoit eschem. When the 70 years of Golos Babel are completed, I will remember you. Golos Babel would last only 70 years. The question was how to calculate the 70 years of Golos Babel. Belshazzar made a huge feast based on his calculations when the 70 years ended. And when he saw that the Jews did not return to Eretz Yisrael at that point, in his mind he thought that the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu would not come true anymore. He then took the stolen kelim from the Beis HaMikdash and used them at his great banquet, celebrating that the Jews would never return to Eretz Yisrael. Achashverosh said, Belshazzar, my father-in-law, calculated wrong. He started the count of 70 years at the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. He counted all 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, plus 23 years of Evel Meroidach, totaling 68 years. Then after 2 years of Belshazzar being king, he thought that the 70 years were over. Therefore, on the following year, he made a feast celebrating that the Jews would not go back to Eretz Yisrael. However, Achashverosh said, Miksiv l'malchus Bavel? Does the pasuk in Yirmiyahu say that the 70 years begins from the beginning of the kingdom of Bavel? The pasuk says, Ki lefi melois libavel shivim shana, which Achashverosh interpreted to mean from the time of Golos Babel, from the time that Nebuchadnezzar sent it to Golos Yehoyachon, together with the great scholars and leaders of Klal Yisrael. And that was in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Therefore, the whole calculation is pushed off by 8 years. Instead of starting from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, we start counting from the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And we count 37 years of Nebuchadnezzar, plus 23 of Evel Meroidach. Then we add all 3 years of Belshazzar, plus 5 years of Daryovesh followed by Koresh. That gives us 68 years. and then 2 years of Achashverosh. And therefore, in the third year of his Malchus, he made a feast to celebrate that the Jews would not go back to Eretz Yisrael, because the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu did not come true. And even after 70 years, they did not go back. And that is the pshat in the Pasuk, Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh, when King Achashverosh was calmed from his fears that the Jews would leave Golos Bavel. And the Gemara tells us that Achashverosh also made a mistake in his calculations. And the real calculations do not start from the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, when Yehoyachon was sent into Golos, but rather when Tzidkiyahu was sent into Golos, at the time of the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, which was in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Pushing off the calculation that the 70 years did not end in the third year of Achashverosh's rule, but rather in the 14th year. And it was at that time that the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu came true, and that was the end of Golos Bavel, and Klal Yisrael started to return to Eretz Yisrael. Zok Rashi Pasuk Gimel HaPartimim Shiltoinim B'loshen Paras. In the Persian language, Shiltoinim, governors, are called Partimim. The Gemara in Megillah asks, why in this Pasuk does it say Paras before Madai? Paras U'Madai HaPartimim. However, in Perek Yud Pasuk Beis, at the end of the Megillah, it says L'malchei Madai U'Paras, Madai before Paras. And secondly, why over here is the word Madai placed near Partimim, governors? And over there, Madai is placed near Malche, kings, Malche Madai. And the Gemara answers that the Persians and Medians jointly established an empire together, and they made a tnai, a stipulation between each other, where one side would supply the king, the other side would supply the governor. So our pasuk is referring to when the Persians supplied the king. That's why it says Paras first. And afterwards, Umadai HaPartumim. From Madai came the governors. However, later on, it is referring to when Madai gave the kings. That's why it says L'malche Madai. The kings were from Madai. Followed by Uparas afterwards. Because when Madai was giving the kings, Paras would be giving the governors. The Medrash tells us that Achashverosh had in his possession the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. However, he was injured when he tried to sit on it. He therefore had his craftsmen build him a replica of Shlomo HaMelech's throne. And that replica was built in Shushan HaBira. And that is what the Pasuk means, Bayomim Ohem Kisheves HaMelech Achashverosh. In those days when Achashverosh sat, Al Kisei Malchusoi Asher B'Shushan HaBira, on the throne that was in Shushan HaBira, on the replica throne that he built in Shushan HaBira. Pasuk Dalet, Behar Oysoi Es Oysher Kvod Malchusoi, when Achashverosh displayed the wealth of his glorious kingdom, Ves Yikar, and the honor, Tiferes Gedulasai, of the glory of his greatness, Yamim Rabim, for many days, Shmoinim Umaas Yoim, 180 days. Zokt Rashi Pasuk Dalet, Yamim Rabim, also Lehem Mishte. For many days, he made for them this party. And the Mefarshim ask, once it says 180 days, why is it necessary for the Pasuk to say that it was for Yamim Rabim, for many days? And the Maharal answers in Sefer Or Chodosh to teach us that these days were consecutive days. They were not 180 days scattered over a long period of time. The Sfas Emes explains that if all the Pasuk would have said was 180 days, we might conclude that different people were coming and going all the time. And this went on for 6 months until the feast ended. Now that it says Yamim Rabim, we may conclude that each person who came actually arrived at the very beginning of the 6 months and stayed all the way until the very end. The Gemara also tells us that Achashverosh wore the big day kahuna during this feast, because in our pasuk it says an expression of tiferes, and by the big day kahuna in Parshat Tetzaveh it also says tiferes lechavayd ulesefares, that Aaron should wear the big day kahuna lechavayd ulesefares to honor him and glorify him. So since it says tiferes here and tiferes there, we learn that Achashverosh put on the Big Day Kahuna by his feast. The Vilna Gaon asks, why was this feast specifically for 180 days? And he answers according to the Medrash that Nebuchadnezzar hid 1,080 treasures in Nahar Paras, in the Euphrates River. They were revealed to King Koresh as a reward for allowing Klal Yisrael to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and then later inherited by Achashverosh. The purpose of Achashverosh's party was to impress everyone with his riches. And therefore, on each day of the party, he showed 6 of the treasures that he had from Nebuchadnezzar. And these six treasures are expressed in the six Lashonos, the six expressions of the Pasuk. Oysher, Kivoid, Malchusai, Yikar, Tiferes, Gdulasai. And if six treasures were shown per day, it took 180 days to show 1,080 treasures. Pasuk Hei, Uvimlois Hayomim Ho'ele, and when these days were filled, when the 180 days were over, Oso HaMelech L'Cholaom HaNimtzim B'Shushan HaBiro, the king made for the whole nation present in Shushan the capital, L'Migodol V'Yad Koton, from the great to the small, Mishteh Shivas Yomim, a feast for 7 days, B'Chatzar, in the courtyard, Ginas Bisan HaMelech. What does it mean, Ginas Bisan HaMelech? Zokt Rashi, Ginas, Mokoim Zar'une Yirokois, a place where vegetables are planted, a vegetable garden. Bisan, notua be'ilonos, planted with trees, a tree orchard. So according to Rashi, the feast took place b'chatzar, in the courtyard of the vegetable garden and the tree orchard. The Gemara in Megillah learns differently. The Gemara learns that the party took place in three locations. B'chatzar, in the courtyard. Gina, the garden. Bisan, from a lashon of bayis, which means the house, the king's palace. The people who were not so important were invited to the chatzar, the courtyard. The ones who were more important entered the Gina, the garden. And the most prestigious guests entered Bisan, the palace. The Gemara says another pshat, that the party started off in the chatzar, but it was not able to accommodate the overflow of people. Therefore, it overflowed into the Gina, the garden. And then eventually they had to open the Bisan, the palace, to accommodate everyone. And the Gemara says yet a third pshat, that the party took place in the chatzar, but there were psachim, there were doors, open to the Gina and opened to the Bisan. From the chatzar they were able to enter the gardens, and from the chatzar they were able to enter the palace. The Medrash is bothered, what is the lashon that he made the party l'chol ha'om ha'nimtze'im b'shushan ha'bira, for the nation that was present in Shushan ha'bira? And the Medrash says, because the G'dayli Hadar were present at the party. But when they saw that the purpose of this party was to cause them to sin, Baruchu, they escaped. So the ones who were left at the party were the Am HaNimtze'im, the regular people that were still present, the ones that did not run away. And when the Pasuk says that the party was L'Migodol V'Yad Katoin, the Mefarshim explain that it means that the small and unimportant people were served just as lavishly as the great and important people. So we see over here that there were two parties. The first party of 180 days was for the people who lived far away. Then there was a special separate party of 7 days for the locals of Shushan HaBira. And in the Gemara there is a dispute between Rav and Shmuel if it was the right thing to do by inviting the locals last. One Manda Omer says, it was clever to invite those who live far away first, because Achashverosh could win over the loyalty of the locals whenever he wanted. The other Manda Omer held, Achashverosh was foolish for inviting the locals last. He should have entertained the locals first, so in case there would be a rebellion by outsiders, he would have the people around him to support him. And the Gemara Megillah asks, why did Klal Yisrael at that time deserve to be destroyed? And the Gemara answers, Bipnei shenenu misu'udasai shel oisei rasha, because they derive pleasure from the feast of the wicked Achashverosh. And the Mefarshim explain, it was not because they ate from the Suda, because concerning eating, they could say that they were forced and afraid that they would be punished by the king, but rather Mipnei shenenu, because they enjoyed it, and since they enjoyed it, that is why they were punished. On that the Gemara asks, if that was the case, only the Jews in Shushan should have been destroyed, not the Jews all over the world, who were not at the party. And therefore the Gemara says that the reason why they were roy to be destroyed was because they bowed down to the Tselem, to the Avodah Zarah, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. On that the Gemara asks, so why were they saved? The Gemara answers, because they only bowed down out of fear, and only did the Avera outwardly, but in their hearts, they did not want to serve Avodah Zarah. Therefore Hashem only punished them outwardly, and never had intention to really destroy them. And the Pasuk continues with the different types of tapestry that were spread out by the party. Different types of colored tapestry. Chur, tapestry that was white. Karpas. Usecheles, tapestry that was blue. Ochuz bechavli vus ve'argomon, embroidered with threads of linen and purple wool. Agalile chesef ve'amudei sheish. All these were hanging on rods of silver, and pillars of marble. That is the way Rashi explains these words. Zok Rashi chur karpas usecheles, mine begodim tzivonim, types of colorful materials. Piris lehem lematzois, spread out for them as spreads. Ochuz bechavle butz ve'argomon, mirukamim, embroidered bepsile butz ve'argomon with threads of linen and purple wool. Oison paras lohem, these were spread out al galile chesef, on rods of silver, ve'al amudei sheish, and on pillars of marble. The Gemara tells us two pshatim in the word chur. Either chur comes from the lashon of chor, a hole, which means tapestry made by needlework, which has many holes, or it comes from the word chivar, which means in Aramaic white. It was tapestry made of white wool. The Gemara also tells us that karpas means karim shel pasim, cushions made of fine wool. And the pasuk continues, mitoi zohav v'chesef, couches made of gold and silver, al ritzvas, all this was on a floor made of bahat v'sheish v'dar v'secheres. As Rashi explains, these were all different types of precious stones. Zok Rashi mitoi zohav v'chesef orach, he set them up on golden and silver couches, leishev aleihem l'seuda, to sit on them during the feast. At first, the Gemara wanted to say that certain couches were made of silver, and they were given to the people who were not so important. And then there were golden couches given to the most prestigious people. On that, the Gemara asks, that would have caused jealousy by the party. One person would look at the other and wonder why he got a golden couch and I only got a silver couch. Therefore, the Gemara says that the couches were made of silver. However, raglehem shel zav hayu, their legs were made of gold. On that, Tosfos asks, if you are worried that there might be jealousy at the party, so how can we explain the opinion we mentioned earlier in Pasuk Hey on the Pasuk Bachatzar Ginas Bisan HaMelech, that the less important people were invited to the Chotzer, the more important to the Gina, and the most important to the Bisan? Wouldn't that have caused jealousy? On that, Tosfos answers that there would only be jealousy concerning the couches, because each one saw the couch that the other one was on. However, the people in the various sections of the house would not see each other. The people in the chotzer did not see the people in the gina, and the people in the gina did not see the people in the palace. Therefore, over there, there was no concern of jealousy. Zok Rashi al ritzvas, karkoi shel bat vashesh, on a flooring made of different types of stones, bat, sheish, dar, and secheres. Mine avodim toivis pirshu rabbeinu. Our Rabbeim in Masechet Megillah explained that these are various types of precious stones. Ulefi mashmois hamikra, and according to the simple meaning of the pasuk, kach shemam, these are the names of those stones. And the Gemara in Megillah explains dar v'secheres, dar, rows, v'secheres, that went around, rows of precious stones that went around the bahat v'sheish. And a second pshat in the Gemara is dar, which is dora, a name of a precious stone. Sechores comes from the word soihar, which means the afternoon. They placed the precious stone in middle of the table, and it lit up the whole feast like midday, like the tzoharayim. Dar, the name of the stone, sechores, that lit up the feast. A third pshat in the Gemara is, dar from a lashon of deror, freedom. Sechores from a lashon of sechera, merchandise. Achashverus said, there won't be any more taxes. He made a deror, a freedom, secheres, from the taxes on the merchandise. And all this was to enhance his kavod at this feast. V'ayin in Sefer Megillah Sesarim, that even these materials were made in order to cause the Jews to sin. As we see that there was techeles, material made out of blue wool, embroidered with chavle butz, linen threads, and that is shatnes, because they wanted Klal Yisrael to sink themselves in and be covered with these materials of shatnes. In Sefer Monos HaLevi from Reb Shlomo Alkabitz, the author of the Lecha Doidi, he points out why there is a large ches in the word chor, and he answers that we mentioned earlier that the Gemara says that Achashverosh wore the Bigdei Kohuna at his banquet. The letter ches has the numerical value of 8. The large ches is indicating that Achashverosh did not wear only the 4 garments of the Kohen Hedget, but rather the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol. And the pasuk continues, pasuk Zion, v'hashkois bichlei zov, and he gave them to drink in golden vessels. Zok Rashi v'hashkois bichlei zov, kimoi ulahashkois. The word v'hashkois is like ulehashkois, and to give them to drink. Rashi is coming to tell us that vahashkois is not a tzivoy, not a command, give them to drink, but rather ulehashkois, and to give to drink in golden vessels. And the pasuk continues, v'chelim mikelim shoinim, as Rashi explains that one vessel was different than the other. No two vessels were the same. Shoinim, meaning different. Zokt Rashi shoinim, mishunim zemizeh. The kelim were different than each other. Nechein, and so we find in the pasuk further on, vidosehem, and their customs, shoinois, are different. So shoinim and shoinois mean the same. V'rabbeinu darshu masha darshu, and our Rabbeim in Masechet Megillah explain it differently. The Gemara is bothered that if the meaning of shoinim is that the vessels were different than each other, the pasuk should not have said v'chelim mikelim shoinim, but rather v'chelim mikelim mishunim. Therefore, the word shoinim does not mean different, but rather shoinim means repeat. As the Gemara says, that a baskel came out that night and told them, harishoinim cholim mipnei kelim. Your predecessors, Baal Shetzer and his men, were destroyed because they used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'atem shoinim bohem. And you are repeating the same mistake. As the Mashal explains this pasuk, based on that Gemara, v'chelim mikelim means v'cholim mikelim. V'cholim from a lashon of destruction. V'cholim mikelim, your predecessors were destroyed because of the kelim. And now, shoinim, you are repeating the same sin. And the pasuk continues, v'yein malchus rov, and the wine of the kingdom was in abundance, kiyat hamelech, in accordance with the king's wealth. Zok Rashi v'yein malchus rov, harbe, there was a lot of wine. There was an abundance in the quantity of the wine. And the Gemara does not like this pshat, because if the pasuk was telling us that there was an abundance in the quantity, it should have said v'yein malchus harbe, because harbe indicates an abundance in quantity. However, rov indicates an abundance in quality. Therefore, Rabbeinu Amru, our Chachamim say in Masechet Megillah, shehishka oisam kol echod ve'echod yayin shehu zokein mimenu. Every person was given to drink wine that was older than him, wine that was older than the one who was drinking it. Therefore, the pasuk is telling us something about the quality of the wine. The wine was old wine, older in age than the one who was drinking it. Pasuk Ches, v'hashtia kados, and the drinking was according to the law, ein oines, without anyone being forced. As Rashi explains, the tradition in Persia at festive meals was that each person was served a very large cup of approximately 2 quarts of wine, and he had to drink it in its entirety, regardless of the consequences. By this meal too, Achashverosh ordered that everyone should be served a large cup, filled to the top, in order that he should not be accused of stinginess. But the people at this meal were not forced to drink the whole thing. They could drink as much or as little as they desired. The shtia was kados, the drinking was according to the law, serving a big cup. But ein oines, this time they were not forced to drink the whole thing. Zokt Rashi kados, and the drinking was according to the law. Lefish yesh seudai shekhoifin es hamesubim lishtois kli gadol, since there are meals where they force the people who are sitting there to drink a large cup. Yesh ein yochel lishtois ki im bekoishi, and there are those that cannot drink this, only with great difficulty. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Aval kan ein oines." Over here, they were not forced. The Gemara Megillah tells us another pshat in ein oines that they were not forced. Amar Rabbi Elazar said, "Milame, this comes to teach us shekol echod ve'echod hishkeu yain mimidinosai. Each person was given wine from his own country, wine that he was accustomed to drinking, and therefore it was ein oines. Nobody had to be forced to drink." On the pasuk Vashtia Kados, and the drinking was according to the law, the Gemara Megillah tells us that it means Kedosh Shel Torah. It was according to the law of the Torah. Just like in the Torah, eating exceeds drinking, so too by the Seuda of Achashverosh, the eating was more than the drinking. In what way in the Torah is eating more than drinking? The Mefarshim explain that, for example, by a carbon oil that is brought on Rosh Chodesh on the Mizbeach, the carbon oil consisted of one bull for an oil, 3 esroinim of flour for a mincha, and 1/2 of a hin of wine for nesachim. So the mizbeach that consumed the oilah, the mincha, and the nesachim was made up of more solid food than liquids, because the solids, the one bull and the 3 esroinim of flour for a mincha, were greater than the 1/2 of a hin of wine for nesachim that was the liquid. So we see that the solid food stuff eaten by the mizbeach exceeded the amount of liquid that it drank. So too by Achashverosh's party, The solids, the food, was greater than the amount of wine. And the Mashar asks, why was Achashverosh so concerned to make his party kiddush shel Torah, like the law of the Torah, to have more food than drink? And he explains that Achashverosh did not want to make the same mistake that his father-in-law Baal Shetzar made. Achashverosh erroneously concluded that the reason why Baal Shetzar was killed was not because he used the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash at his party, but rather because he used them in a state of drunkenness. He therefore did not want to fall into the same predicament as his father-in-law, who was killed on that night. Therefore, he made sure that the amount of food exceeded the amount of wine at his feast. So the Pasuk has just said that no one was forced at this party to drink. Ki chen yisar ha-melech, because so did the king instruct, al kol rav beisai, over all the palace's officials, la'asais kiritzon ish ve'ish, to do each individual's desire. Zok Rashi yisad, so did the king instruct. Lashon yisoid, the word yisad comes from the word yisoid, a foundation. The king made a foundation that this is the way it should be. Kaloimar, this means to say, kein tikein v'tzivo, so he instituted and so he commanded. Al kol rav beisai, over all the palace's officials. Al kol sari ha-seuda, over all the stewards of the seuda. Sar ha-ifim, over the chief baker. V'sar ha-tabochim, over the chief butcher. V'sar ha-mashkim, and over the one who served the wine. La'asos kirtzoin ish v'ish, that means l'chol echad v'echad ritzoinai, to satisfy each individual's desire. And the Gemara Megillah tells us another pshat in the pasuk la'asos kirtzoin ish v'ish, because there are two people in the Megillah that are called ish, and that is Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai is referred to as Ish, like the pasuk says further, Ish Yehudi. And Haman is also referred to as Ish, like it says, Ish Tsar V'Oyev Haman. So at the party, they did the desire of Kol Ish V'Ish, which means the desire of Mordechai and the desire of Haman. Mordechai was representing the Jewish people and made sure they did not receive any non-kosher food. And Haman represented the Oiv the Avodah Zarah, and he was able to provide them with every imaginable delicacy. Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Sefer Tamei Dekra explains that even though Mordechai tried to stop them from going to the feast, however, not everyone listened. He therefore tried to minimize the averis of those that did attend. He tried to make sure they did not eat non-kosher, they did not eat bishul akum, food cooked by a goy, and also that they did not drink yayin nesach. We mentioned earlier that by Achashverosh's party, there was more food than wine. The Imre Emes says an interesting pshat. We say later in the Megillah, v'nahafechu, there was a reversal. Instead of Haman killing the Jews killed Haman. Therefore, many things we do on Purim are done in a way of v'nahafechu. We do things differently. The Imre Emes says, that is why by our Seuda, we have more wine than food. V'nahafechu, it's a reversal of what Achashverosh did when he served more food than wine. Pasuk Tes, Gam Vashti HaMalka Osa Mishtei Noshim. Queen Vashti also made a party for the women, Beis HaMalchus, in the royal house, Asher LaMelech Achashverosh, which was to King Achashverosh. And the Gemara points out that Vashti did not make her party in the Beis HaNoshim, in the women's section, but rather Beis HaMalchus, in the royal house, in close proximity to the men, because Vashti wanted to engage in immoral behavior just as much as her evil husband Achashverosh. And therefore she placed her party near Achashverosh's party. In Sefer Yosef Lekach, he says another pshat. He says that Vashti was jealous of Achashverosh's party. Vashti wanted to show everyone that she was the real royalty. After all, she was the daughter of Baal Shetzar. Therefore, she did not throw the party in the queen's quarters, but rather in the palace of the king. And this was actually her downfall. Since the two parties were near each other, Achashverosh heard the women's voices, and that gave him the idea to summon Vashti to his party. Also, since she was nearby, by not coming when she was so close by, that was a greater offense to the king and made the king even angrier. And that brought about that she was put to death. So by placing her party near Achashverosh's party, that was her downfall. And the Alshech explains, from the timing of Vashti's death, we see Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. Usually, when a son sins to his father, the father waits until his son repents, and then he will seek to ease the pain of the son. Over here, at the time when Klal Yisrael were sinning at the party of Achashverosh, at that same time, Hashem planted the seeds for their Savior. Vashti makes a party, which leads to her death, which in turn leads to Esther coming to power and saving Klal Yisrael. All this took place while Klal Yisrael were sinning. So we see that the love of Hashem for Klal Yisrael was even greater than the love of a father to a son. The father waits until his son repents and then saves him, while Hashem plants the seeds of Savior while they are sinning. Pasuk Yud. Bayom HaShvi, it was on the seventh day, as the Gemara says, Yom HaShvi is referring to Shabbos. Kitov Lev HaMelech Bayoyin, when the king was merry with wine, Omar, Achashverosh said, Limohumon, Bizza, Charvoino, Bigsa Avaksa, Zeisa Vecharkas, Shivas HaSorisim, HaMeshorisim Es Pnei HaMelech Achashverosh. He said to the seven servants who served before the king Achashverosh. And what did he say to these seven servants? Lahovias Vashti HaMalka Lefnei HaMelech, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, Becheser Malchus, with her royal crown, as the Gemara says, with just her royal crown, to appear before them naked, wearing just her royal crown. Laharis ha'amim v'asar mesiofyo, to show the nations and the ministers her beauty, kitoves marehi, because she was beautiful. And the Gemara tells us that there was an argument taking place at this party. The people from Madai said, Madiois na'ois, the women from Madai are the most beautiful, while the Persians said, Parsiois na'ois, the women from Persia are the most beautiful. Achashverosh then said to them, my wife is the most beautiful of all of them, and she is not a Persian, nor is she from Madai, but rather she is a Kasti. Would you like to see her? And they answered, yes, we would, but maybe her beauty comes from her royal clothing, and it's not really her natural beauty. Therefore Achashverosh said, then I will bring her here naked. This way you will see her pure beauty, and you will see that her beauty is not due to her royal clothing and her jewelry. Zokt Rashi Pasuk Yud Bayom HaShvi, Rabbi Seinu Amru Shabbos Haya, our Chachamim in Masechta Megillah learn that when the Pasuk says Yom HaShvi, the seventh day, it means that it took place on Shabbos. And the Gemara explains that this was Midah Keneged Midah as a punishment for the evil things that Vashti did to the Bnei Yisrael on Shabbos. She used to bring the Jewish girls and strip them naked and make them work on Shabbos. Therefore, as a punishment from Hashem, she was ordered by Achashverosh to appear naked on Shabbos. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Yud Beis, Vatemoyen HaMalka Vashti, and Queen Vashti refused, Lavoi B'Dvar HaMelech, to come as ordered by the king, Asher B'Yad HaSorisim, as ordered through the servants, Vayiksev HaMelech Ma'oid, and the king became very angry, Vachamosei Bo'ar Ovoi, and his anger burnt in him. Why didn't Vashti want to come to the party? After all, she was not a tsnua, she was not a modest person. Zokt Rashi Vatemoyen HaMalka Vashti, and Queen Vashti refused. Rabbi Seinu Amru, our Chacham tell us in Masechta Megillah, Lefisha Parcha Batzaras, since she broke out with leprosy, that is why she did not want to come. And the reason why Hashem caused this is Kadesha Temoin, in order that she should refuse to come, Vitehoreg, and then she would be killed. And the Gemara in Megillah tells us yet another reason, Bimasnisa Tano, in a brisa was taught another reason why Vashti did not want to appear naked. Bo Gavriel va'osa lozonov. Malach Gavriel came and made her grow a tail. And the Chidah says an interesting hint to this, because the numerical value, the gematria, of Vashti is 716. And the words Gavriel osa lozonov equals 715. Im ha'koilo, which means if you count the whole statement as one, it also comes out to 716. So the gematria of Vashti is equivalent to Gavriel osa lozonov. Gavriel made a tail for her. And Rashi continues, why was she punished? Lefisha hoisa mefashet es bnei Yisrael arumois, since she would strip the daughters of Klal Yisrael naked, va'oisa bohein, melacha b'shabos, and do work with them on Shabbos. Therefore, nigzar aleho, it was decreed upon her, mida keneged mida, sheti poshet aruma, that she should be stripped naked, b'shabos on Shabbos. Vayiksoif, and the king became angry, sheshol chaloi divreginai, because Vashti sent to Achashverosh words of insult. And the Gemara explains what exactly the words of insult were. She said, Achashverosh, you were the stable boy of my father Belshazzar, and also my father was able to drink and take a toast together with 1,000 people and not become drunk, whereas you, Achashverosh, become drunk with just a bit of wine. That was the message that she sent to Achashverosh. And that's why it says in the Pasuk a double lashon of anger. Vayiksoif ha-melech ma'oid. The king became very angry. And then it says again, Vachamosoi bo'ar ovoi. His anger burnt in him. The double lashon of anger was because of the insult that she sent back to him. And the Vilna Gaon explains that that his anger deepened even more because he did not want to tell anyone the great insult that Vashti said to him. He had to hold it inside of him. And therefore, Vachamosei Bo'aravoi, his anger burnt in him even more because he could not relate to anyone the degrading insult that Vashti said back to him. In Sefer V'Dibarta Bom, he points out, why in Pasuk Yud Aleph does it say, Lahavi es Vashti Hamalka, saying the name Vashti before the word Malka? And in Pasuk Yud Beis it says, Vatemoin Hamalka Vashti, placing Malka, the queen, before the name Vashti. And he answers, because in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Achashverosh wanted to degrade Vashti, and that's why it says, Vashti Hamalka, implying that she was an ordinary person named Vashti, who thanks to him became the Malka, became the queen. And that's why he summoned her, to show everyone that her beauty was exceptional, and that's the reason why he took her as queen. Vashti, on the other hand, refused, and referred to herself in Pasuk Yud Beis as Hamalka Vashti, Queen Vashti, stressing that she was the queen in her own right, immediately at birth, because she was the daughter of Balshetzar. However, in Pasuk Tesvav, when Achashverosh seeks the advice of his advisors, he says over there, Kidos ma la'asois b'malka Vashti, to know what to do with Queen Vashti. Over there he felt bad and thought maybe she is right. Maybe I should not have degraded her because she does come from royal blood. She is really Malka Vashti. However, the wicked Haman, Memuchan, in Pasuk Tezayin, said before the king, Lo yal ha-melech levadei ovsa Vashti ha-malka. It is not on the king alone that Vashti the queen sinned. Haman places Vashti before Malka, degrading her because he wanted her to die. Then Haman goes on to advise that in the book of records, she should be stripped of the title queen completely. And that is why in Pasuk Yud Tes it says that in the book of records it shall be written, Asher lo yisovei Vashti, that Vashti did not come before the king. The title queen is not written at all, degrading her even further. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer ha-melech lachachomim yoidei ho'itim. And the king said to the wise men, the ones who know the times, Ki chein devar ha-melech, because so is the procedure of the king, to place questions of judgment, lefnei kol yoidei dos vodin, before the ones who know the laws. Zot Rashi ki chein devar ha-melech, because so is the procedure of the king, ki chein minek ha-melech, so is the custom of the king, b'chol mishpat, by all judgment, losum es ha-dovar, to place the matter, lefnei kol yoidei dos vodin, before the ones who know the laws. And the Mefarshim explain that Achashverosh did not have the power to pass judgment upon Vashti by himself, because legally, a king may not have sole jurisdiction over a serious offense. Rather, he has to seek the counsel from the Yoidei Dos Vadin, from the ones who know the laws. And the Gemara Megillah explains, who is the Pasuk referring to when it says, Chachomim Yoidei Ho'itin, that he went to the wise men who know the times? And the Gemara says, these are the Rabbonon, Sheyoidein La'aber Shonim V'Lekvoya Chadoshim. They are the ones who know how to calculate leap years and establish the months of the Jewish calendar. And Achashverosh came to them to judge Vashti. And the Chacham said to themselves, what should we do? Anything we say will be held against us. If we tell Achashverosh to kill Vashti, tomorrow he'll sober up from his wine and want to kill us for killing the queen. And if we will say, let her go unpunished, then it will be held against us that we did not punish the one who degraded the king. So therefore they said to Achashverosh, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we were put in Golus, and the ability to give advice was taken from us, because we are in a state of upheaval, roaming around in the exile. Therefore, it is better for you to go to the wise people of Amud and Moav, who did not experience upheaval and relocation, who remained settled in their own lands, and they will be able to tell you the judgment much better than us. And therefore, Achashverosh went to other advisors, as the Pasuk continues in Pasuk Yud Dalet, the Hakorei Ve'ilov and the ones who were close to him, Zok Rashi Larech Devorav Lefnehem, to present his affairs before them. Eluhain, these are Karshino, Shesar, Admoso, Sarshish, Meres, Marsino, and Memuchon. Memuchon is Haman. As the Gemara says, Shemuchan Leperonios, he was destined to be punished at the end of the Megillah. Shiva Sore Paras Umadai, the seven ministers of Paras Umadai. Roye Pnei HaMelech, the ones who see the king, which means the ones who always have access to the king, Hayoshevim Rishona B'Malchus, the ones who occupy the highest seats of power in the kingdom. And he spoke to these advisors, Kedos Malasois, concerning the proper procedure to follow, B'malka Vashti against Queen Vashti. Al asher lo osso es ma'amar ha-melech Achashverosh, because she did not do as directed by King Achashverosh. B'yad ha-sorisim, through the servants. Zakt Rashi kedos ma'lasois, moisef al vayomer ha-melech l'chachomim. The words kedos ma'lasois in Pasuk Tesvav is going back on the words vayomer ha-melech l'chachomim in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Because there it says that Achashverosh said to the Chachomim, but it does not say what he said to the Chachomim. Therefore, Rashi tells us over here that Vayomer HaMelech LaChachomim is attached to the words in our Pasuk, Kedos Malasois. Achashverosh asked the Chachomim, Kedos Malasois, what is the proper procedure that should be taken against Vashti? And again over here, the Mefarshim explained that Achashverosh had second thoughts about punishing Vashti. We see earlier in Pasuk Yud Beis, it says that Vashti refused to come Bidvar HaMelech. It uses an expression of Dibur. However, over here in Pasuk Tesvav, it says, Al asher lo osso es ma'amar ha-melech. She did not do what the king said, a lashon of amira. And we know, as Rashi says in Chumash, that Dibur is always a lashon kasha, speaking harshly. As the Pasuk says in Sefer Bereishis, Diber ho'ish adonai ha'oretz itonu kashois. And amira is always a soft lashon. Therefore, in Pasuk Yud Beis, when Achashverosh was angry, it says that Vashti did not come bidvar ha-melech. She did not listen to the strong words of the king. However, over here in Pasuk Tesvav, where Achashverosh was having second thoughts, it says, Asher lo osso es ma'amar ha-melech. She did not do the soft words of the king. It was not such a strong command, and therefore maybe the advisors should let her off the hook this time. And the Pasuk continues, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayomer Memuchon lifnei ha-melech v'hasarim, and Memuchon, Haman, said before the king and the officials. And even though Memuchon was listed last out of the seven advisors listed in Pasuk Yud Daled, indicating that he was the least important, yet he answered Achashverosh first. And from here the Gemara learns that Hedjoit Koyfeis Berosh, the commoner, the plain person, leaps to the front to answer first. And the Maral explains two reasons why a Hedjoit is Koyfeis Berosh. On the surface, there seems to be a very simple explanation. Feelings of insecurity and inferiority are the cause. A person finds it difficult to accept that he is less than others, and therefore somebody who is inferior is always found speaking up first, because he cannot help but to try to convince other people, and also himself, that he is just as intelligent as they are. However, there is also another explanation. When a person speaks, he reveals what's inside of him. A person of substance, someone who has a refined character, speaks with thinking over beforehand what he will say, considering each point from every perspective, and only then will he speak his mind. However, a simple person who has less substance to him, since he is shallow and empty, he does not think over what he will say before he says it, and therefore jumps to speak before thinking. And that is why the Hedjoit, the plain person, is always the first one to answer. And if one looks carefully at the spelling of Memuchon in this Pasuk, it is spelled differently than Memuchon is spelled in the rest of the Megillah. Typically, Memuchon is spelled Mem Mem Vav Chaf Endanun. Over here, the Vav is placed between the two Mems, Mem Vav Mem Chaf Endanun. Because everywhere else, he is referred to as Memuchon, but here he is referred to as Mum Kan, a combination of two words, Mum Kan, meaning a blemish is here. The blemish we are referring to is the fact that he was Kaifeis Berosh and spoke before the other advisors. And we mentioned earlier that the Gemara says that Memuchon was Haman. However, Tosfos in Megillah brings another opinion, who says that Memuchon was Daniel, who married a woman whose position in the government was even higher than his. He gave this advice to the king because up till now, Daniel was not able to force his wife to speak to him in his own language. And that is why we will see later, a decree was made that every wife must speak the language of her husband. V'ayin Tosfos Megillah, Daf Yud Beis, Amid Beis. So Memuchon said to the king and the officials, Le'al ha-melech levadoi ovso Vashti ha-malko. It is not only against the king that Queen Vashti sinned. Ki al kol ha-sorim, against all the officials. V'al kol ha-amim, against all the nations. Asher b'chol medino es ha-melech Achashverosh, that are in all the provinces of King Achashverosh. Ki yetzei dvar ha-malko, because the queen's deed will go forth. Al kol ha-noshim, to all the women. La'havsois ba'aleim b'nehen, that their husbands will be degraded in their eyes. Be'umbram, when they say, HaMelech HaChashverosh Omar, King HaChashverosh ordered Lahavias Vashti HaMalka Lefanov, to bring Queen Vashti before him, v'leva'a, and she did not want to come. And that deed will cause other women also not to listen to their husbands. Zokt Rashi, Pasuk Tezayin, Avsa, Vashti sinned. The word Avsa comes from the Lashon of Avoin, a sin. Avsa Vashti, Vashti sinned. Ki yetzei devar hamalka ha'kol ha'noshim, because the word of the queen will go out to all the women. And Rashi is bothered that it was not the word of Vashti that was the problem, but rather what she did by not coming. Therefore, Rashi explains that devar hamalka does not mean the word of the queen, but rather the deed of the queen. Which deed? Zesha bizzos ha'melech, the fact that she degraded the king. And this act of degrading the king will go out to al-kol ha'noshim, to all the women, lahavsois afhein es ba'alehen, that they too will degrade their husbands. And not only will this bring about a lack of respect from the common people, but also the higher ends of society will suffer from the lack of respect that Vashti showed to Achashverosh. And the pasuk continues, Vayom hazeh, and on this day, Toimarnos sorois paras umodai, the wives of the ministers of paras umodai will say, Asher shamu es devar hamalko, when they hear the word of the queen, and they will say l'chol sorei hamelech, to the ministers of the king, how Vashti was disrespectful, and they too will act disrespectful to their husbands, the ministers. Ukedai bizoyin v'kotzef, and this will cause an increase of disgrace and anger. Zokt Rashi pasuk yudches, Toimarnos sorois paras umodai, the wives of the ministers of the king will say, L'chol sorei hamelech, they will say to the ministers of the king, Es hadavar hazeh, this matter, how Vashti was disrespectful to her husband, the king. V'harei zeh mikra kotzer, and this is an abbreviated pasuk, because the pasuk does not say what the wives of the ministers will say. And therefore Rashi puts in these words, they will say, Es hadavar hazeh, this matter. What is this matter? The matter, how Vashti was disrespectful to the king. Zokt Rashi ukedai bizoyin, v'yesh b'davar hazeh harbe bizoyin v'ketzef, and this will bring about a lot of disgrace and anger. Pasuk Yutes, and Haman continues to say, im al ha'melech toiv, if it is pleasing to the king, yetzei devar malchus milafonov, let a royal decree come out before the king to kill Vashti, v'ikosei b'dosei paras umodai, and it shall be written in the laws of paras umodai, v'lo yavor, never to be revoked, that any wife that acts disrespectful to her husband will be punished. Because Vashti did not come before King Achashverosh, umalchusa, and therefore her royalty, yiten amelech, the king will give, lirausa, upon another, hatoiva mimeno, that is better than her. And the Malbim is bothered, how did Haman convince Achashverosh that the next queen will be better than Vashti? And therefore he learns the pasuk like this, yiten amelech lirausa hatoiva, the king will give over her position to a queen that is better. How do I know that she will be better? Mimena, because she will learn from her. The second queen will learn from Vashti what not to do, and she will show much more respect to the king. And that is why she will be toiva, better than Vashti. And the Mefarshim ask, why did Haman speak in the future tense by saying Asher loy sovei Vashti, that Vashti will not come, as opposed to saying Asher loy va'o Vashti, that Vashti did not come before the king in the past? And they answer that Haman knew very well that Achashverosh was a feeble-minded person who can easily be swayed into changing his decisions, especially for his wife Vashti, whom he loved very much. And if this had occurred, Vashti would remain the queen, and Haman would be faced with very serious consequences. Therefore, Haman advised Achashverosh, Asher lo yisavei Vashti, Vashti should no longer be able to come before the king in the future. This way, Haman was ensuring that Vashti would not be able to sway Achashverosh's decision, and he would be sure that Vashti would be killed. Zokt Rashi pasuk yutes, if it is pleasing to the king, yetzei dvar malchus. Zokt Rashi gezeras malchus shal nekamo, a royal decree of revenge should come out. Shetziva lahargah, that he commanded to kill her. V'ikosev bidosei paras umodai, it shall be written in the laws of paras umodai. B'sifrei choik uminog hamalchus, in the books of laws and customs of the kingdom. V'lo yavar, never to be revoked. Choik zeh mibeinehem, this rule from between them. Sheyehei zeh choik v'dos, it shall be a law and a rule. L'chol ha'boizeh es balo, for every wife that will degrade her husband. Asher lo yisavei Vashti, because Vashti did not come, ulekach nehergo, that is why she was killed. And the pasuk continues, pasuk chof, v'nishma pisgom ha'melech, and the decree of the king will be heard. Asher yaseh b'chol malchusai, that will be done throughout his kingdom. Ki rabahi, although his kingdom is large, he will spread the word throughout his kingdom. B'chol anoshim yitinu yikar leba'aleihem, that all wives should give honor to their husbands. L'mi gadol v'yad katon, great and small alike. And the Alshech is bothered why the Pasuk has to say ki rabahi, that the kingdom was vast and big. Once the Pasuk said earlier that it was made up of 127 provinces, we know ki rabahi, that it was large. And therefore he learns that Haman was not referring to the size of the kingdom, but rather ki rabahi is referring to Vashti. He told Ahasuerus, in reality, rabahi, she Vashti has greater yichus than you. She is the daughter of Belshazzar and the great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. She has greater yichus than you. And when it will be publicized in all your kingdoms that she was put to death for not obeying your orders, ki rabahi, although she is greater than you, then kol hanoshim yitnu yikar leba'aleihem, all wives will give honor to their husbands, l'mi gadol v'yad katon, whether they are great or whether they are small, since they saw Vashti, who was more important than Ahasuerus, had to show respect to Ahasuerus, all the more so, a wife who is less important than her husband should surely give respect to her husband. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayitav Adovar Be'eni HaMelech VeHasarim, and the matter was favorable in the eyes of the king and the ministers. Vayas HaMelech Kedvar Memuchon, and the king did like the word of Memuchon and had Vashti killed. Vayishlach Sefarim El Kol Medinas HaMelech, and he sent letters to all the provinces of the king, El Medina U'Medina Kiksava, to every province according to its script, Vel'am Va'om Kilshonoi, and to every nation according to its language, Liois Kol Ish Sarer Bevesai, that every man should rule over his house, U'Medaber Kilshon Amoi, and the language spoken in the home should be the language of Amoi, his nation, the husband's nation. If the wife and the husband spoke two different languages, the wife should learn and speak the language of her husband. As Rashi says, Pasuk Chaf Beis, U'medaber kilshon amoi, koife es ishtoi, he should force his wife, lil maidas lashonoi, to learn his language, im hi bas lashon acher, if her native tongue was different. And the Gemara says, if not for the first decree that every man should rule over his home, there would not have remained a survivor from the Jewish nation. And the Gemara asks, how did this first decree avert such a catastrophe? And the Gemara explains, because when the first decree came out, people ridiculed it, saying that it was obvious. There was no need to say something like this, because even a lowly weaver is an authority in his own home. And since they ridiculed this first decree, saying it was foolish, they did not pay particular attention to the second decree, which called for the destruction of the Jewish nation. The second decree called for the destruction of the Jews on the 13th of Adar. Were it not that the credibility of Ahasuerus's decrees had been ridiculed the first time, the enemies of the Jews would have pounced on the opportunity to destroy the Jews. They would not have waited until the 13th of Adar. The delay allowed for the turn of events that resulted in the savior of the Jewish nation. The Chasam Sofer explains that it was the custom in Persia that the king would not decide any issue of law by himself. Instead, he would have to go to his advisors and discuss it with them. Like we see in Pasuk Yud Gimel, that he discussed these matters with his advisors. Haman desired that this should change. Therefore, in addition to advising that the king should kill Vashti, Haman suggested that Ahasuerus should be able to make his own decisions from now on. Additionally, he suggested that every man should be a ruler over his own home. These two recommendations that Haman made led to his downfall and also led to Esther becoming queen. Because after Vashti was killed, a search began for a new queen. Had it not been for the rule of the land that every man must rule over his own home, when agents arrived at Mordechai's home searching for Esther, he would have told them, "I don't know where Esther is. She left without my permission. Am I supposed to know where she is going?" But thanks to Haman's advice that every man must rule over his own home, Mordechai was not able to say that she left without permission. Every man has to rule over his wife. She can't just leave without permission. So that was not a good excuse. Therefore, Mordechai was unable to hide Esther. And therefore, she was forced to come to Ahasuerus and eventually become the queen. So it was through Haman saying, Liois kol ish sarer bevesai, that every man shall be a ruler over his own home, that Esther became queen. And also, when Ahasuerus heard from Charvoina that Haman had prepared the gallows to hang Mordechai, Ahasuerus said, "Hang Haman on it." Haman began to demand, Before you hang me, there must be a trial. There must be a jury. You can't just decide these things on your own. Ahasuerus told Haman, it was you who advised me some time ago that the king should make decisions on his own and nobody else should be involved in the king's decisions. So therefore, it was Haman himself who brought about his own downfall through creating this new law that the king can make his own decisions.